Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of views. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, co-workers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast.
All right, so today's podcast is going to kind of continue on sort of the economics of kind of God's way type of thing. So we're going to focus today on, can Christians overprice in their business practices? Is that something that is something Christians should be doing? And overpricing is sort of just like, well, that's just the way it is, right? If you can get, you know, they get away with it, but, you know, it's not like, I guess, illegal, you know, necessarily.
Right.
I mean, in some situations it is, but, yeah, so it's just the way it is.
I mean,
you got to pay it up.
Right, what's the big deal?
Yep.
We're just trying to make a little bit of money.
Right. Yep.
Everybody needs to make money doing stuff, selling things.
So, like, some examples of this in society and life is, like, medication overpricing, right?
They don't overprice medication.
Something that's always talked about is like the medical industry, right? How much everything costs, and it's crazy, outrageous, expensive, and just it's like skyrocketing. And so then comes all these like debates about what to do with the medical industry because they're just so out of control. And then just looking at, you know, different statistics over just like standard of living and costs, just costs of life now compared to 20 years ago. There's a huge difference. And then they get into discussions over, you know, should we make a higher minimum wage? That's where all these types of talks and conversations come from, because of the disparity between how much more people are making compared to how much more everything's costing.
But we know the more
catching up.
Yeah, those arguments usually don't work out, because if you start paying a minimum wage that's more, then the cost of everything just goes up with it. I mean, it just comes down to, you're going to pay a lot of money at McDonald's when you're paying workers twice as much as what they were getting paid.
So it's like a never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
It seems like it just keeps going on and on and on, and things just keep on getting higher in price. And so, kind of looking back at, you know, as a Christian, just because you could charge more, the question is, should you charge more? So just because you can, does that mean it's okay? And, you know, that's the question we're going to be exploring today. As Christians, you know, should we do those things?
Right.
Should we engage in those practices? I mean, if people are willing to pay, isn't it okay?
I wonder if we read the Bible, if it told us what to do, does it tell us what we should do with our money? Or it probably doesn't.
We'll have to see. I think that's the point of this podcast.
Oh, wow.
I'm
really excited to hear what you're going to say.
All right. So we're going to go to Famous Amos.
Amos. Let's eat some cookies.
One of the minor prophets, Amos chapter 8, verse 3, is where we're going to start. Love Amos. Love me some Amos right here. It's always great. Great to read. So here we go. It's always intense.
Nathan Collins, the only man on earth who would say he loves some Amos.
Because
really,
some Amos.
Most people probably don't even know there's a book called
it's
Amos
in
the Bible.
It's very entertaining. It's
So
we're going to start there in verse 3. And it says, the songs of the temple shall become wailings.
Ooh.
Okay. People, instead of singing happy songs, they're going to turn into...
That's what I want when I go to worship God.
That's right.
Is wailing.
And this is what's going to happen in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies. Mm. They are thrown everywhere. Silence. So, like, this is... And Amos is written in poetic form. So if it seems choppy, that's why.
Yeah.
It's written in poetic form. It's really great to read. It's very, like, the artistry to Amos is amazing.
Yeah.
To read.
This message is rated MA for a mature audience.
It is. Okay, so, yeah. So going back to that verse, obviously harsh. Like,
yeah.
God is telling him this terrible day is going to come upon you. And everything's going to be destroyed. Now, when Amos is giving this message, he is a farmer, okay? And he's traveled from small farm town Tekoa, and he's gone to Israel, okay, which he's from Judea, which is an interesting situation in itself. So he crosses over to the north into Israel, which at that time is a divided kingdom. Right, you have Judea in the south, Israel in the north. So he's not even in the right kingdom. But he goes up there, he goes straight to the main place there and starts speaking what the Lord has to say. And this is a time of great prosperity. Mm. Okay? There's actually a lot of peace. The Assyrian Empire is weak at this point. And so that would be the only dominating force who could come and, you know, destroy things and mess stuff up. So there's a period of weakness, and it's actually a pretty long period. And this is when Amos is to go preach this message to the people. And so he's talking about, like, destruction, everybody's going to be ruined, and everybody's looking around like, everything's great, Amos. Yeah. We're, like, we're super prosperous. Like, look at our houses, look at, you know, the city walls here, look at our army, look at all this stuff. Like, yeah. Trade is booming. You know, the economy is going great. What are you talking about, Amos? You know, there's not going to be destruction. And who are you? Just some farmer? Like, get out of here. You're not from any, like, good family line or anything. You know, go back home to Tekoa on the edge of the desert. You know, that's where he lives. So it's nobody great. But it's just interesting, you know, God calls him for this message. But anyways, going on from there. He then says, hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. Okay, so this may sound weird. What's going on? But there's some context to bring in to help explain this, because otherwise it just seems like super random.
I was a little confused by it. I read it like three times, and I'm like, I just don't get exactly what it's trying to tell me.
Nathan and his weird verses.
But Nathan put it on the sheet like it means something, and it's like, all right, well, I guess Nathan can explain this to everybody for us.
I'll try.
Nathan, go ahead.
I'll try. So there's obvious some injustice happening here. I mean, that should at least come through. He's speaking to, you know, the richer and wealthier people of the time, the upper class people. And he's telling them, you know, listen up to this. You guys are trampling on the needy. So he's talking about this destruction. And then he's saying, you know, this is what's going on. This is why there's going to be this destruction. You guys are trampling on those in need. And bringing the poor of the land to an end. So the people who you're supposed to be what? If we're thinking about God's rules for the kingdom, what's supposed to be happening with these people groups? They're supposed to be being helped, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be being sustained. They're not supposed to be being trampled on, right? They're not supposed to be being taken advantage of and being brought to an end. And then you have this saying, you know, they're kind of being mocked. That they keep saying, when will the new moon be over and the Sabbath? Okay, they're talking about festivals. Festivals happen when the new moon, they're based on moon cycles. And so when these festivals happen, you can't do business, right? It's a Sabbath. It's a time of rest. You can't be doing business. You can't be making money. You can't be doing these practices. And so these business people who are in this boom time, these things seem like things that are getting in the way, right? We could be making more money on those days, those weeks. You know, if we're looking back to those festivals, sometimes they're a long time. And that's money being lost. You know, we need to get rid. You know, I can't wait till the Sabbath is over so we can go back to, you know, ripping people off and stuff. You know, making money hand over fist, as they say. And so that's what they're saying, that we may offer wheat for sale again. They're wanting to get back at it, you know, making money off the produce of others. And then they say, so that we can make the ephah small and the shekel great. So the ephah is a measurement for dry goods like wheat. So what they're trying to do is the age-old business practice that never changes. You give people less while you make them pay more. And if any of us have experienced this with food items, like snacks and stuff, we're always like, remember when there used to be more than this thing half of air in here? And it's only got like 10 potato chips.
Big old
chips.
Bag of chips, yeah. And you open it up and there's just a few in there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big man and that makes me angry.
So we always talk about that. Yeah. How you get less, but same price or more.
Or when you see the commercials, the food commercials, and they show this juicy giant burger and it looks so delicious.
Yeah.
And then you actually get one and it's like, that
deflated.
What is that? That looks nothing like the commercial.
The letdown.
Oh, so disappointing.
So yeah, you know, essentially you're ripping people off, right? That's what we call this. Yeah. You ripped them off. So you're trying to figure out, these business people are trying to scheme, even though they're in a time where things are booming, right? Mm-hmm. It's a time of plenty and peace. There aren't these huge wars and devastations happening, and they're still not satisfied, right? Yeah. They're still trying to figure out, how can we get more for less, right? Yeah. How can we put less in this amount and still get it off on him? And then it talks about, and deal deceitfully with false balances. So when you went to buy stuff, there is a scale, okay, a balance scale. And you kind of see this at like justice buildings. They have that scale with the two plates on each side and there's a beam.
Blind justice. That, yeah. Sometimes they have the woman who has the thing of like a, I don't know, a scarf over her eyes so she can't see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's that type of balance. Mm. And so you would, you know, weigh out. And somebody has a weight, and then you put the money on the other side. And then if they balance out, you got the right amount. Okay? So what people would do is you mess with the balance, right? Mm-hmm. You mess with that weight you put in the other side and make it heavier.
Yeah.
Right? And then be like, oh, that's not enough shekels. Sorry. You need to pay up more. And so they got to put more in so that it balances out. And it's another way of tricking the other person into getting more money out of the same stuff or less is what they were doing. And, you know, the word there for deceit is to twist things, right? They're twisting the balance. And some people think it has to do with the literal beam that people would bend it. But the word's also just used to talk about deceit. You know, you're twisting things. You're making a path crooked. You know, that type of idea. That it's not something that's straight. You're trying to twist it. And, I mean, that's something that's just age-old with humans, is how can I manipulate things for my advantage? You know, it goes back, you know, we're reading Amos, right? We're talking about thousands, you know, years ago here, and it's still the same old story, you know, different day. Mm. People are always trying to find tricks as to how to get more out of less, or just how to find an advantage, right? A loophole, right? Looking for loopholes. And then in verse 6 there, it's talking about, you know, that we can buy the poor for silver and needy for a pair of sandals. The sandals thing might sound weird to us, but there were only two people who, you know, wouldn't be walking around in shoes. It would be sometimes seen as a sign of respect. So you kind of see this with, like, Moses, take your shoes off, you know, you're on holy ground, you know, those type of things. But what's being talked about here has to do with either people who are completely destitute wouldn't have the money for shoes, and so they walked around barefoot, or slaves. Those are the two people groups. Okay. So they're buying the poor, right? They're getting them into these predicaments. And when you went into debt and stuff back then, you eventually went into slavery, mm-hmm. right? That's how that works. You eventually get so bad that you get bought. And so they're taking in those who are in need, and they're turning them into slaves by these business practices of, like, overpricing, cheating people, you know, doing all these things just so they can get more. Hmm. And then it says, and sell the chaff of the wheat. And so this is sort of like the kicker on the end, because the chaff is just the outside sort of husk to a grain of wheat. Okay. It's completely just complete waste. When they're like threshing and winnowing and all that stuff, they are tossing the grain heads and the wind will blow through and take off the chaff and blow it away. And that's how you get the grain out of the chaff. So you're not like picking through every grain of wheat. So it just is something that blows away. And so they're trying to figure out how to sell us some chaff. You know, like, hey, that stuff that blows away, maybe we could get people to buy that. Yeah. You know, and it's talking about stuff that is completely worthless. And especially in a time and place where you would try to use as much of everything as you could, right? Mm-hmm. This is, to them, something that is completely useless. And it is. It's completely a useless part. And they're trying to figure out how to sell it, you know, so they can make even more money. And, you know, it's just being laid out there, the just outrageousness of the way, you know, the business practices were going on back then, and how there was real people consequences to these actions, right?
Yep.
There's people who are getting hurt by this, and their lives are getting destroyed, and, you know, ending up as slaves or whatever, you know. And, you know, God's telling them of there's going to be a day when I'm going to come, you know, and there's not going to be, you guys aren't going to be so happy then, right?
Yeah.
You guys are singing in the temple now, but there's going to be a day when you guys are going to be wailing. Mm-hmm. And we know that that did happen. They didn't change.
Hmm. Yeah, just because you're rich and prosperous doesn't mean you're righteous. Doesn't mean that you're caring and loving. I mean, these people obviously didn't care about the poor. They didn't care about people who are in need. They took advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, to take advantage of somebody who's in the worst place and then you buy them to become a slave, mm-hmm. because they have no other options.
Yeah.
It's the only way they can survive.
Yeah. It's like you can't pay your debts.
Is that the kind of, we really want to live in that kind of world?
Yeah.
And I mean, good thing we don't live in a country like that, of course. As a country, we take care of the poor at a level. Mm-hmm. I mean, could we do better? Oh, absolutely. I don't, but not looking to the government for that. I'm looking at the church for that.
Yeah.
The church needs to step up in that area. But man, I mean, what a wicked, wicked group of people. And it shows, just because a country looks good from the outside, these people were really well off,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean their moral compass is worth a darn.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're terrible people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty, pretty wicked. And, you know, again, in their eyes, they're hearing Amos, like, rail against all this stuff, you know, in the city gate there. And it's just like, it's just Amos, you know.
Yeah.
You know, somebody go beat him up. You know, type of thing, like nobody's caring because they don't, you know, I don't know, you know, they're just blinded by this is the way things work, you know,
mm-hmm.
too bad for them.
Yeah.
Right. The poor people or whatever, they didn't make it, but you know, that's just the way it goes. And yeah, there wasn't much compassion or anything about that. So, just kind of going on, talking about, you know, we kind of saw some of the ways in which people would cheat things back then, you know, and how you would weigh it on the scales, right? Where they have a weight on one end and then you put the money in the other and they're supposed to balance out. But of course, there was a common practice of people manipulating the weights so that they could, you know, get more money. And that's something that happened throughout. And there is tons and tons of verses that are talking about weights and the measurements and stuff. And that God is saying that you are to observe having honest weights, and you are to do justice by these things. You are to have just and fair business practices, and you're to do this because I am Yahweh, right?
Yep.
In my kingdom, this is not what we're going to be doing, and this is, you know, this is the way it works. But of course, as we see in Amos, it wasn't followed. Mm-hmm. You know, they did whatever they wanted.
Yeah, if you're a follower of God, you don't do these practices. Just like the last one we're talking about, interest. You don't charge interest if you're a follower of God. You don't overprice and pretty much just don't be shady with your money. You know, you're not to do these types of things if you're a follower of God. Simple as that.
Yep. And going on to another prophet, Micah. In chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights?" And, you know, you could go back then, there would be sometimes buildings set up in a city called a counting house, and these things would have rows of scales and weights and stuff. And, you know, this is where everybody's trying to make sure that they have the right measurements, stuff like that. But merchants, you know, when you come to their shops, they would have the scales and stuff, and you could overprice people if you want.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to use my way here.
Well, when if you travel, like when I traveled to the Dominican Republic for a missions trip, that was one thing they told me is most likely, because first of all, I'm a rich American.
Yeah.
They're going to hose you. They're going to try to charge you extra, and you have to, there it's a, you have to barter with them.
Yeah.
You, it's not like here where there's a price sitting there. Mm-hmm. You walk up to an object and you're like, "Oh, how much for that magnet?" You know, you're looking for things to bring home with you.
Yeah,
and they'll start out with a high amount, and you have to talk them down because they know they could take advantage of you.
Yeah,
and so they charge differently based off the customer who comes in the stores. And there's like hundreds of these stores. Then there's all these people trying to make a living. But their practices of how they sell things usually aren't the best.
Yeah,
but, and that's I don't. They probably don't live by God's laws, you know, these individuals. Yeah. They're just trying to sell goods and make it by. You know, sometimes it's just survival for people. They're not actually following any system of morality.
Yeah.
And but I do remember that the idea of like, they're like, you just don't get hosed. You know, they're going to try to sell you these cheap little trinkets for way more than it's worth.
Yeah. And
it was stressful when you're not used to that. We're used to a market where you just, you know, the price, you go buy it.
Yeah.
The idea was like, oh, I got to barter. It's like, I don't want to barter. I just want to buy something.
Yeah.
So that's, they know that. And so I'll pay $4 for something that other people will pay a dollar, you know?
Well, you're being generous, I guess.
Sure, I guess so. It was stressful.
So another example of this is, there is this thing called an ostracon, that archaeologists have found. And an ostracon is just like a sort of like a pottery type shard, but there's writing on it, So like this has Hebrew writing on it. And this is called the Yavne Yam ostracon, And it talks about somebody being cheated. Okay, so there is this guy who is just a farmer, you know, he's a hired worker most likely, and he takes his grain and produce and stuff, and he puts it in this, I guess, lord or master's, his silo there, his holding area, and What's happened is when the guy's counting his grain, he's like, no, it's not enough. It's not right. And so he says that, you know, that guy still owes him. He didn't get enough. And the other guy's like, no, that was the right amount. And so because of this dispute, the like Lord there takes his cloak. Okay. And so back then that was saying that this you're now in debt. Okay. When you have to give that cloak up. And a cloak was something you slept in. It's what keeps you warm at night. You know, it's very, like, it's deeply personal when you take somebody's cloak. Okay, there's, like, a big, big thing that goes along with that. And they sometimes it'll be translated in the Bible as, like, offering a pledge that kind of goes along with it. And it means that somebody has that person's cloak. So, anyways, the Lord or Master takes the guy's cloak and won't give it back until he repays. And so the farmer takes up this case with the higher magistrate, the governor there, and hoping to settle it. And so we have this shard of this, you know, legal dispute, which is pretty interesting and pretty cool to have. And so, again, talking about somebody, you know, the guy is cheating, you know, this farmer, saying, nope, you don't have enough yet. And this is sort of how people could start to go down the way of becoming a slave, is you're telling them they never have enough, right? You don't have enough. And then if you're that hired worker, you're just hoping somebody from a richer class helps you out or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we hear from the prophets and stuff, there's bribery that goes on, and that there's no justice, and that the judges aren't ruling right. So, you know, whether he gets justice or not, you know, it's pretty up in the air. Because if that guy's a higher social class and richer, stuff like that, he could easily, you know, tweak justice to help him out. And the guy, you know, is in trouble.
These people that, like, the prophets are dealing with, aren't these supposed to be God's people? As in, like, these people from these cities, these are, like, people who would be people who would be servants of Yahweh. They would know who Yahweh is. Mm-hmm. They would know of his ways. They've been taught these things, correct?
Yeah, they're supposed to.
But God has to send prophets to pretty much tell them,
hey, you guys aren't doing anything that I commanded. Yeah, and like that ostracon is from King Josiah's reign.
Okay.
It's the time of that. So it's something from that time. And King Josiah was a good king, you know.
Yeah.
He's doing reforms and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's just the way things were going on. And Hosea, you know, is talking about merchants. A merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress people. Yeah. And, you know, if you're a business person, and this is sort of a trick of the trade, you know, to get more out of less. And he's saying it brings oppression upon people.
Yeah.
Right? Just because you can get more on people doesn't mean that you should. Because it can hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, kind of leaving the New Testament, or the Old Testament, we're going to go on to the New Testament. And look at famous Zacchaeus. Yep. Mike's going to take it away.
Sure. So I'll talk a little bit about, it's Luke 19, 1 through 10. And I kind of cut this up a little bit. I didn't do all the verses here. And there was a man, and his name was Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So he was kind of a type of merchant, somebody who dealt with money.
Mm-hmm.
So most likely, with the way people treat him, he was somebody who got rich by stealing and defrauding.
Yeah.
He took more than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they couldn't do much about it, because who was going to stop him from doing that? He had the right to do that.
Yep.
So Zacchaeus, this tax collector, is really excited to see Jesus, and so he does anything he can to get, you know, just to get Jesus to notice him. And then Jesus asked to go stay at his house. So this is what Zacchaeus said. He said, you know, while talking to Jesus, he said, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I defrauded anybody anything, I will give back four times as much. And then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he, too, is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those which was lost. So, people, I mean, when Zacchaeus was trying to talk to Jesus, people grumbled. Okay, they were saying, this is a sinner, this is a tax collector, this is an individual that in their mind probably has no way to salvation. He's an evil man. Zacchaeus was willing to give up half and more, as in he mm-hmm. wants to give four times as much back to the people he defrauded. The moral of this story is after everything we just talked about, there is a repentance. There's a way to turn from your wicked ways. If you mm-hmm. were somebody who was overcharging, somebody who was defrauding, you can give back. You could mm-hmm. give up these practices and turn to Christ. And obviously Zacchaeus did, and Christ knew he was going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a cool story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. And, you know, you have this story before with the rich young man and that he couldn't, right? He couldn't give up his possessions.
Yeah.
And he's not a tax collector, right? He's just somebody who is probably well-respected and, you know, good and stuff. And he's saying, you know, all these laws I have kept, Jesus. And so he's like, oh, okay. You know, well, give up all your possessions and then come follow me. That's and the guy's like, I can't do it. And, you know, it's really sad.
Yeah.
And then you have Jesus come to Jericho, and then there's Zacchaeus, the tax collector.
Right.
And, you know, this is this theme throughout, you know, the Gospels of the people who seem to be the worst and most hopeless are the people that seem to be coming to Jesus, and the people who you thought should be the good guys end up not being able to hack it.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. And it, again, it's this upside down nature with everything. But yeah, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. You know, talk about being the arch bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, this would be like if Jesus was coming into town and he's like, what's that guy's name? Bernie Madoff? Is he the hedge fund guy who's like swindled millions and stuff?
Yeah.
Or maybe even a billion. I don't know.
It was a ton
of money.
Yeah, he took a bunch of people's money, invested it.
Yeah.
He said he was going to give them all this money back and kept it for himself.
Yeah.
He's in prison now.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah.
But it would be like that sort of character. Somebody who's just abuses everybody mm-hmm. in town, right?
Yeah.
And takes advantage and rips people off. And nickels and dimes everybody. And then Jesus is like, hey, where's Bernie Madoff at? I'm going to stay at his house. Yeah. You're like, are you kidding me right now?
Right.
You know, like, that's the worst guy.
Yeah.
Like, why would you stay at his house? He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
You know? And they're right. Zacchaeus was a terrible person. I mean, he admits to it, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who it says defrauded there. But in the Greek, it's the word for accused, and this is because tax collectors couldn't technically prosecute anybody back then, but they could sure tell on you.
Okay.
And that's what they could do. And so they were to report people who didn't pay up, or, hey, there's something in their house that they didn't bring up at the tax collection booth. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I want the Romans to know about it. So it's somebody who's almost like a spy in your town, who's ratting you out mm-hmm. to the Romans because you have something and you need to pay up. And just think of like all the years of abuse that they've been under.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, with Bernie Madoff, there's like, you know, the police come after him and he goes to jail. With Zacchaeus, it's perfectly legal, everything he's doing. Yeah. And you know, you just have to suffer under his abuse.
Yeah, this is the man who would show up, and you probably got sick to your stomach because you have no idea what he's going to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd show up I don't know how often it was, but I mean, whenever they collected taxes, and it's not like it was like a fair tax that you knew, I'm going to pay mm-hmm. this percentage, this is the amount.
Mm-hmm.
It was whatever he was asking.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, I mean, yeah, they said he was pretty much evil and he stole from them.
Yeah.
And yeah. And obviously he stole way more than he's supposed to if he's going to give back four times as much in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, you know, I mean, that's true. You know, we talk about, like, what does it mean to be a Christian? How are we supposed to live our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right there, it's a sacrifice. You could, Zacchaeus couldn't just go to Jesus and say, well, I want to follow you and just, you know, live my life the same way I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep being this tax collector who steals from people.
Yeah.
That wasn't the option.
Yeah.
And obviously Jesus mm-hmm. knew exactly his heart because he accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like watch Zacchaeus like, well, I'm going to make sure you give all that money back.
Yeah.
He knew Zacchaeus was mm-hmm. going to. Zacchaeus obviously did do what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, right there, that's what, once again, that's that kingdom mindset right there. Zacchaeus is an example of what the kingdom should look like when it comes to how we should treat people, especially if we've lived any type of life of sin or hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a chance of repentance and changing, even for the worst.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The repentance he has, you know, leads to him changing.
Yeah.
You know, leads to actual change in his life. And, you know, Zacchaeus is a fantastic example of what a changed person, you know, looks mm-hmm. like
right.
as an example to us. And, you know, just really the power of what Jesus can do in somebody's life. You know, the worst person in town.
Mm-hmm.
And that person changed, you know. And that's good news. You know, that's great news for the world and what can happen. And the next verse to go to is Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 there. And this is a famous verse talking about you can only serve one master.
Mm.
One master. And so it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so mammon is a Aramaic word for wealth, material type things, that stuff of that nature. And, you know, this is just a fundamental, straightforward teaching that really gets to the root of sort of what is a Christian to do when you have this choice of overpricing or not, or, you know, how much do I charge for this or that? And it comes back to, you know, who is your master, right? We were kind of mm-hmm. talking in the last podcast on interest, sort of like what's the core motive of why you're doing this business? Is this business to, you know, serve God and to help people? Or is it for profit, for mammon, right?
Right.
Because if you're doing a business for profit, for the full, you know, the complete purpose is to make more money, then overpricing makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're after more mammon.
You want the profit to be as high as you can. Yeah.
You're after the mammon.
As long as people are buying the product.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't want to the only reason you wouldn't overprice is because you wouldn't mm-hmm. want to hinder people from buying your product.
Yep. And so how you serve and how you work is to achieve that master, right? Which is wealth, which is profit, to get more.
Yeah.
Now, if your goal is to serve God, then there are other things that you would be working towards, like how to help others, right? How can I make this product more accessible to more people, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's something people need, am I selling something people need? Is this good for people to have, right? Mm-hmm. You know, not just overpricing, but kind of thinking to the product itself. Sure. What am I selling?
Yeah.
You know, is that something that's serving God? And those are two very fundamentally different motives, and they lead to different things.
Mm-hmm.
Serving God as your primary purpose and executing how to love other people doesn't make sense to overprice.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Because how would that achieve those goals?
Mm-hmm.
That would not be a goal that would not be a thing that grows out of that motive. But that would be something that grows out of the profit mindset.
Yeah.
Right? I need to get a greater and greater mammon at the end of this.
Yeah.
Well, then it makes sense.
Well, let's just say somebody cured cancer. They found the cure for cancer. And if that was in the wrong hands, could you imagine the profit margin?
Yeah.
Because who wants the cure of cancer? Everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have cancer, how much are you willing to pay for this product? Now, what if that was in the right hands? What if Christians found the cure of cancer and they followed these practices? Mm-hmm. Now, they would still, there might be some money involved to make the product. Mm-hmm. And that's not, you know, that's not overpricing. But if you gave that product away, like the church, what if the church funded that to the point where it's a free product to cure cancer?
Yeah.
It would change the world,
yeah.
And the Christians would be the ones who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah,
they should be looking for it. But instead, one day when that happens, and they've talked about recently that it's close, we're close to curing cancer,
yeah.
I'm worried, is everybody going to have access to that cure? Or is it only going to be the rich?
Yeah.
Or the well-insured? Like, who would be able to get that?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's in the right hands, whoever finds that cure.
Yeah.
But that's exactly the, I mean, you do, if you actually see how much you pay when you go to the doctors, if you didn't have insurance, it's insane what you're paying for medical.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, going back, my grandma got in a car accident. She died in that car accident. But I remember the doctors lined up in the hallway to help her. Eventually, she passed on the table. But the medical bill, just for that moment, of all those doctors standing there, was close to $1 million. And she didn't even survive. You know, every doctor's charging their thousands of dollars and just the procedure. And we're talking this one moment. It was, And luckily, I don't even know how, I never understand how that gets paid for. It's like, who has $1 million or the insurance to do so?
Yeah.
But it's insane how much the cost is. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. It's a lot of money for, I mean, medical is a big one where overcharging does happen for certain products. And but the only way to change that would be Christians changing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a little bit about it, and I think we'll talk about it more in the future, like Christian inventions throughout history. And the reason why they invented things was to do good. It was never to make a profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that root motive, you know, of who's your master, creates powerful things, you know, and both do, you know, whether you're serving mammon or serving God, they both create their own things. But, you know, there's things that, such as overpricing, that wouldn't survive out of a Christian motive because they just don't make sense. They fundamentally go against everything that would be pursued down that line of reasoning in what you would be doing. But, you know, again, just talking about just because the demand is there, just because you can, you know, doesn't mean that you should.
Right.
And it doesn't really make sense, again, with that motive of who are you serving? Are you serving God or what?
So Paul, Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." So don't be selfish. Put people above yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, if you're doing those things, you're not going to be charging.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
Be overpricing things. It wouldn't make any sense because you put people above yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So as we think about this topic of can Christians overprice, naturally for me, I go to my more, I would say my old political views of, I always kind of stuck with like a libertarian type argument. And that's the idea, like if an individual wants to do something like overprice, in my mind, you should let them do it. Like they can do whatever they want because eventually they're not going to have any customers if they do it. And when you think of like capitalism, the free market, you got to be reasonable or you're not going to have any goods to sell. No one's going to buy anything from you if you're not reasonable. So on a secular level or a non-Christian level, I actually would say there's not much wrong with overpricing because eventually you're not going to have customers. You're not going to be successful anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say the problem, you know, with that argument is that we're talking about Christianity. And yeah. So in Christian society, you know, doesn't function like the secular world, and that we follow God, and God has clearly stated ways in which we are to live, mm-hmm. And, you know, be his people. And he has his own way that his kingdom works. And we are to be following, you know, the kingdom way, and not just whatever, you know, world system decides to be. You know, they can do whatever. But as Christians, you know, we're to be this different people, following this different way that's described in the Bible, and, yeah. you know, and that's commanded. And, you know, I see that side, but again, we're speaking to Christians,
right.
you know, yeah. in these podcasts. And, yeah.
And usually when people want to argue with me, they usually go into more of the mindset of the secular world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if we weren't Christians, there's probably different arguments you can make. And really, the what's always a shame is we just don't see this Christian society popping up.
Yeah.
Even within the church. This isn't how the church acts.
Mm-hmm.
Church looks more secular than Christian most of the time.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to change. And it starts with you. It starts with an individual changing that. And once again, it's mm-hmm. just us understanding and accepting the reality that God's given us of what it means to be a Christian. This is part of it. This is another mm-hmm. one of those, one of many things we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And these are so easy to think. I mean, is it really hard to not overprice? You're choosing not to do something?
Yeah.
You know, I would say it can be. I had a friend, and this is kind of off subject, but I remember when I was in high school, there was a friend who was really fit, always really fit, always like, and he's always counting his calories, and he was, you know, he worked out and stuff, and I'd be like, man, how do you do it? How do you stay in shape? He's like, it's easy. You choose not to do something. Yeah. I choose not to eat,
just like carbs.
Little Debbie's, yeah. I choose not to drink regular pop.
Yeah.
How hard is it not to do something, Mike? That's what his argument was.
It's really hard, guy.
And I'm like, that's so logical, but it just doesn't work for me because I like Little Debbie's and pizza and stuff. So it's the same thing with this. I mean,
yeah.
We're choosing not to overprice. God's commanded it. It's what he wants for his kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and we should do that.
Yep.
All right, thanks for listening. There are hundreds and thousands of podcasts out there, but you chose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at biblicallogic@gmail.com. That's biblicallogic@gmail.com.
If you like our podcast, share it with a friend or give us a like wherever you're listening.
Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.